Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, headlines on a gorgeous, holy cow, Friday afternoon. Yes. Right here on Softy and Dick, brought to you, of course, by our good friends at VenueKings.com.
41 yards of total offense. 41 yards.
Well, where do you want to start? How about some Husky basketball? 0-3 after a 76-62 loss to Utah yesterday. Dogs will next host Seattle U on Wednesday, and today, Naj Carter, who was suspended indefinitely by UW back in October, today announcing he will be leaving school permanently.
Sticking with the basketball theme, the NBA and Players Association have agreed to suspend random tests for marijuana beginning immediately.
What is iHeartMedia doing that, by the way?
And the Lakers and Anthony Davis finalizing a five-year, $190 million max contract.
Yeah, iHeartMedia announcing that they will no longer test for marijuana or crack. Good news for all of us here at the radio station.
You, right?
Yeah, Seahawks and Giants on Sunday. It looks like Daniel Jones did not practice today. Colt McCoy expected to start at quarterback Sunday for the Jets. Pete Carroll today saying Trey Flowers likely out with a hamstring injury. DJ Reed should start in his spot. Chris Carson, Carlos Hyde both should play. That's good news on Sunday. Carlos Dunlap, Damian Lewith both questionable for the game on Sunday.
Russell Wilson leads all NFC quarterbacks in Pro Bowl votes after the first batch was released. He's 3,000 votes behind Patrick Mahomes for the overall lead. Bobby Wagner leads all NFC inside linebackers.
And how about this? Stephen Hauschka, Hausch Money. Remember him? Former Seahawk kicker after 13 years in the NFL, six of them with the Hawks, retiring today.
And here we go.
It's Football Friday.
We gotta have it now. We gotta have it now.
Powered by Bud Light Seltzer, official partner of the Seattle Seahawks.
Come on, you're getting high now. You're getting high. You're too high, baby.
On your home for college football Saturdays and the NFL, Seattle Sports Radio 950.
Let's go get it.
KJR.
I want to mention real quick, this is a Friday, but a very Tuesday feel, if you will. Because John Wilner will join us at 4:20 on the radio show, Curtis Simply Seattle. It's also a Friday with a very Wednesday feel because Mike Florio,
how dare you,
will join us next segment and talk some NFL. We'll get his thoughts on the Seahawks coming off their win against the Eagles, the game with the Giants on Sunday. It is funny, isn't it, how you kind of have these random weird memories of certain players in the NFL that maybe nobody else can remember, but, you know, except for you. Like, for example, Stephen Hauschka just retired today from the NFL after 13 years. Six of them in Seattle. When you think of Stephen Hauschka, what are the memories that first come to mind? Because I gave two of them to Ian Furness, and none of them have anything to do with him making a field goal. Anything.
I got to be honest. Just the only thing that comes to mind when I think of Stephen Hauschka is a solid kicker that was the starting kicker for the best run the Seattle Seahawks ever had.
Yes.
I just don't remember a lot of individual great Stephen Hauschka moments where he pulled games out of the fire.
I don't think he ever made a game-winning kick ever for the Seahawks. That was
amazing.
At least of significance or maybe memorable. But, I mean, dude, the two for me have nothing to do with him making a field goal. Number one is the onside kick versus Green Bay, which was a phenomenal onside kick. And then number two was, you remember, on 4th and 7 from the Niner 35, Seahawks are down, I believe, 17-13. And they trot out Stephen Hauschka for a 52-yard field goal. He eyes it like you're standing on the tee box looking down the fairway. Mm-hmm. And he says, this ain't happening. Walks back to the sideline. What do? Alden Smith jumps. They get a free play to Jermaine Kearse, and they score a touchdown and take the lead. Those are the two moments that I remember.
So the two moments you remember, wasn't really an exceptional onside kick. It was just a horrible special teams play by Green Bay.
It was good that he kicked it to the right guy in Richard Rodgers because you remember Jordy Nelson is standing right there. Literally has his hands up in the air waiting for the football, and Richard Rodgers steps in and it goes off his face.
So we'll call it a questionably whether it's questionable whether it's a great onside kick, and then having a lack of confidence to make a 50-plus yard field goal. Those are the two things we remember.
Well, the wind was bad that day. It was blowing, and I just remember him literally. If you go back and watch the tape of that Niner game from 7 years ago. He's staring at it, and he's like, And they call timeout, and it was the right call.
It was the right call.
Because they snapped the ball, and they got the touchdown. When, remember, Kearse and Baldwin almost ran into each other in the end zone. They ran the same route,
yep.
Almost smashed into each other, and Aldon Smith jumps off sides, and he jumps off sides and goes, ah, damn it, and then goes back, and right then and there, the Seahawks took the lead. So, I don't know, man. Those are the two memories I think of when I think of Stephen Hauschka, but congrats to him. No doubt will go down as one of the greatest kickers in Seahawk history. Doesn't have the tenure that, like, a Norm Johnson had for sure in Seattle, which is 6 years, but, you know, it's funny, and look, I don't want to jinx anybody, but according to my friend here, Jackson Feltz, jinxes do not exist.
No.
Because Jackson Feltz, well, he went out and did something. When was this? 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
That I never, ever, ever would have done if I were him. Let me ask you a question. If you have a team riding a hot streak, if you have a team that's making an incredible run to a championship, a Super Bowl appearance, a World Series, Final Four, NBA Finals, whatever, maybe Dixon's playing at a golf tournament, he's doing great, leading the field by 15 strokes, going into day number four, and you need a haircut, would you cut the hair? Would you get the haircut?
Oh, I think...
Would you trim it then and there?
Yeah, I don't think the haircut would bother me. There are certain certainly other things that are more like sports related or Seahawks related or like Dixon's golf related that I certainly would not do.
Okay. Right. Okay.
But I don't know if I don't know if I'd include a haircut.
Jackson Feltz cut his hair coming off the win over Dallas.
All right. Okay, because here's also the thing.
And here they are going into Monday night. They're going to play Minnesota, don't you know? And this clown goes out and shaves his head. What the hell were you thinking?
So here's what I'm thinking.
They lose, we're blaming you.
Okay, sure. I cut my hair last year during the playoffs. It just happened to time out that way. So clearly they went and won the championship last year. And B, jinxes aren't real.
Really?
My hairline has no influence on how the Sounders play Monday.
Is that why Mr. Unlimited didn't cut his hair a couple years ago?
Mr. Unlimited.
During that great run, and he grew it out. Remember that when he had the big afro thing, the big curly afro thing going on?
Super Bowl?
I think they did that year in 2013. That's the year they won when he wouldn't cut his hair. So, look, you want to go rogue and do your own thing and tempt fate, that's fine. But I will just tell you this right now. I would not have done that if I were Jackson Feltz. And well, I believe in jinxes, by the way.
I absolutely believe in jinxes. Yeah. I think for me, it's got to be a little bit more tied to the sport. Like, if I'm playing or if Dixon's playing with a golf ball that's all beaten up, but he's playing like great.
Keep going.
Dude, I am, and I'm his caddy. I am not replacing that golf ball with a new one. Like, you play with a square golf ball because you're raking right now, man.
That's different, though, because that has an actual mental influence on the person who is playing the actual sport. Yeah. I have no influence over Jordan Morris.
Sure, you do.
No, how?
You're the pregame host, man.
Yes, because Jordan
you have a
Morrison
ring. You have a championship ring.
He's got a ring. He's wearing it right now, as a matter of fact.
Because they listen to me pregame.
Listen, if I had a great round and wasn't wearing any underwear, I'd go commando every damn time. Every freaking time. Well, listen, you know, it's funny that I actually did not want to spend this much time talking about his jinx. I was going to use that as a tool to introduce another topic.
Okay.
And I have no idea what it is. Totally forgot.
It's a Friday.
I got no idea.
Fridays, we like to wing it on Fridays.
Caught up in this guy getting a haircut. Oh, I had something else to say.
I'll throw something at you. I don't know. I made a tweet today.
You made
a tweet,
huh?
The tweet on, did you see the Colin Coward prediction?
Yes, we will talk about that. We will talk about that for sure, man. You know what we can do? We can ask Florio about it next segment.
Okay.
When he's on the radio show. We got a lot to get to. Mike Florio will join us. John Wilner will join us on the show. Hugh Millen will join us on the radio show. Tony Castricone will be here as well on the program, but let's do this. Mike Florio, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com, will kind of tell you what Colin Cowherd said about a potential Super Bowl matchup, and we'll see if Mike Florio agrees. Coming up next right here on 950 KJR.
He is a genuine podcasts.
It's time for our weekly conversation with Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Tired of buying and repping the same old Seattle sports gear everyone else has? For the best Storm, Seahawks, Mariners, Kraken, Rainiers, Sounders, and not to mention the largest Sonics collection in the world, check out SimplySeattle.com. Now with Mike Florio, here's Softy and Dick.
Who farted?
So on their website right now at SimplySeattle.com, they have a gigantic selection, I believe 36 different designs of $20 hoodies. And when you buy a hoodie, you're helping to give meals to Food Lifeline during the holiday season. So Some awesome designs on their website. The 79 Sonic World Champion hoodie, the Let Russ Cook hoodie. Remember 2020 hoodie is up there as well on the website with proceeds going to Food Lifeline. The goal is to raise 20,000 meals in 20 days for Food Lifeline, and they are on their way. Here he is joining us right now, courtesy of ProFootballTalk.com. The NFL and NBC, our friend Mike Florio. How are you, pal?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good, man. Let's talk about the Seahawks football team coming off the win against Philadelphia. Now 8-3 in first place. Four of the next five teams they play have a combined record of 13-31. Can we crown the Hawks NFC West champs right now?
I wouldn't do it yet. Let's just wait and see if they win the games because it's still the National Football League. You never know what's going to happen. Remember last year in Week 16, they lost to the Cardinals, who were a losing team at home, a game the Seahawks needed. So, no, I'm not ready to concede anything to anyone other than maybe the Steelers and the Chiefs. The NFC is bunched together, and you know it can skew very favorably for the Seahawks, or they can hit another rough spot like we saw a few weeks ago. So let's just take a one game at a time. All the cliches that we always hear, let's just stick with that, and they should end up in a good spot this season.
I think a lot of Hawks fans, Mike, might be lumping the next two games against the Giants and Jets together, and I'm a little bit afraid to do that because the Giants, at least on one side of the football, are pretty legitimate, right? I mean, they're a top 10 scoring defense.
Well, and they are in the playoff hunt, unlike the Jets, who have nothing to play for. So it doesn't matter what your record is. If you still have a carrot dangling out there in December, you're a potentially dangerous team. Now, they likely won't have Daniel Jones at quarterback. They'll have Colt McCoy. That will help. But the challenge in cases like this is to not get complacent. Every week we see a team that sleepwalks its way into an uppercut, like the Raiders last week when they went to Atlanta. Who would have thought that the Raiders would lose? Who would have dreamed they would be blown off the field? It's the National Football League. You have to be ready. You have to be on guard. You have to be focused and motivated and driven week after week after week after week, or you're not going to get to where you want to be. And that's one of the things that's great about Pete Carroll. He's not going to let his guys get complacent. That's that spirit of competition that permeates every level of the organization. That's going to be helpful in keeping the focus necessary to win these games.
Hey, Mike, I'm not trying to be a smartass here. Maybe I am a little bit, but really I'm not.
You're not trying to be.
No,
it's
just
natural.
Exactly. It's like a scent. It just happens no matter what. How big of a drop-off is it from Daniel Jones to Colt McCoy?
Well, it's not a gigantic drop-off, but Daniel Jones has proven he's got a good degree of mobility. Colt McCoy is an intriguing player. He's been in the NFL 11 seasons now. He hardly ever plays anymore. He was the starter in Cleveland 2010-2011. And it's amazing what you can do for yourself as a backup quarterback in the NFL. You maybe play once a year, maybe not even play at all, stay in shape, be ready to go, help the starter, be prepared at a moment's notice to jump in, and you make a couple million a year. Where else are you going to make a couple million a year with just a graduate, not a graduate degree, but an undergraduate degree from college if the guy even got that? So, you know, it's a pretty good gig if you can stretch it out for 11 years like McCoy has, and I respect it. But he's not Daniel Jones. If he was, he'd be starting instead of Daniel Jones.
We've seen the Seahawks defense dominate Nick Mullins and Carson Wentz and probably Colt McCoy and Sam Darnold, but when it comes to January and they're facing Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and Tom Brady just to get to the Super Bowl, how do you think they'll hold up against that level quarterback?
Well, I mean, let's see, because we need to see it again for it to be something that they have grown into, and it's not just a situation where they're feasting on bad quarterbacks. Now, Drew Brees is an intriguing name because I don't know how good he's going to be when he comes back. I don't know when he's coming back. He comes off of injured reserve, or at least he's eligible to, I think, next week. That'll be 3 weeks. They waited until Friday of that week after he suffered the fractured more ribs than the human body has injury. And will he play next weekend if he comes right off of injured reserve? When will he be ready to go? If they're rolling with Taysom Hill, do they say he's not going to play until he's 100%? I'm not 100% convinced it's going to be Drew Brees by the time we get to the postseason. We'll see. We'll see. I'm just, when you tell me you've got a collapsed lung and 11 broken ribs and you're 41, I don't know that you're automatically back in it. But to answer your question, we're just going to have to see what they do against a better quarterback. And maybe they're developing enough confidence against these lesser quarterbacks quarterbacks that they can hang with the best quarterbacks in the conference when it's time to play them.
How old is Drew Brees again, you said?
Don't.
41 yards of total offense. 41 yards.
Who's the new coach going to be in Detroit, and will it be Robert Saleh?
I don't know, because we have to figure out who the GM is going to be first, and the GM typically hires the coach. And this is the group that brought us Matt Millen in 2001, I think it was. Yep. The group that thought a guy who never, ever worked in a front office or as a coach would be the perfect guy to hand the keys to the car to. And I know that that portion of the Ford family no longer is making the decisions, but still, this is one of the great conundrums of the National Football League. GMs and coaches get fired. You can't fire the owner. The one wild card in all of this is the person who doesn't get mentioned very much, except when things are going well, and that's the team president. What a gig that is. Rod Wood is the president of the Lions. Ted Phillips is the president of the Bears. He's been there 21 years, and they've only been to the playoffs 5 times. You get paid really well, and you never get fired. And when things go well, you can kind of ease your way into the spotlight and claim some credit. But when things don't go well, you go hide under the bed and say, I'm not a football guy. So whoever hires the GM had better know what he's doing, and that's Rod Wood. And then whoever hires the coach, presumably the GM, had better know what he's doing. So Saleh's name pops up because the 49ers are getting better again. You know, Saleh's name wasn't mentioned when they were struggling. Now that they're good, he's a good coach again. Isn't that amazing how that works? Mm-hmm. And the media drives that bus. It's kind of silly. Last year, Saleh's a can't-miss candidate because the 49ers have a good defense. This year, they're struggling. Nobody talks about Saleh. Now they're winning games. Oh, hey, he should be a head coaching candidate. It's just kind of goofy the way it operates. But I would expect that, you know, the best thing you can do is identify all the candidates who seem to possess the capabilities and do your homework and get to know them. But anytime it's a coordinator who steps up to the next job, the question is, does that coordinator have the skills necessary yeah. to take over a team? It's a fundamentally different job. Some guys are suited to it, and some guys aren't.
Well, you say the media is driving that bus. You're in the media.
But I'm not trying to drive that bus because I recognize we don't know what the hell. We don't know what the hell we're talking about. You know, it's just like pre-draft stuff. We end up repeating the things that people we know tell us. There is a huge potential there for people to manipulate and lie and work their agendas and just get the right media people behind a candidate. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not my decision. The people who have to live with the decision are the ones to make it. And I'm not going to stand on a soapbox and say, you should hire this guy, you should hire that guy. If they want to invite me to participate in the interviews, then I'm glad to make recommendations. But until then, I don't know who the right guys are. Only they do.
We talk about the Lions as a conundrum. How about the once champion Philadelphia Eagles and the conundrum they have at quarterback? I mean, what can they do? And is Wentz tradable to a team that maybe just thinks he's a bad fit in Philly?
No, he's not tradable because the salary recommendation, not recommendation, but requirement for him next year is $25 million. And that's total roster bonus and base salary, and the salary cap is going to be $175 million next year. You're not going to find someone to take on that commitment. And then you're going to have a big cap hit because of the contract you gave him. You know, I've been racking my brain, and maybe you guys can help me. I can't think of a guy who was drafted in the first round at quarterback, played well enough to get a second contract, got the second contract, and then the wheels came off.
What about Culpepper? Dante Culpepper. Was he a first-round pick?
Yeah. That was injury-driven. Yeah. That wasn't just, you know, Dante Culpepper had the torn knee ligament trifecta 2005, late October against the Carolina Panthers, was traded for a second-round pick to the Dolphins the next year, and then he was never the same. And remember, the Dolphins could have had Drew Brees for nothing by way of trade compensation. He was a free agent. And they said, nah, that shoulder's a mess. We'll take the guy with the blown-out knee instead. But I'm just talking about a guy who, by all appearances, has lost his fastball, Steve Blass style, if you guys are old-school baseball fans. He's the Pirates pitcher who all of a sudden just couldn't throw strikes anymore. It's just odd to see this with Carson Wentz. And I feel like Wentz is trying, in one fell swoop, to justify every decision the Eagles have made that show faith in him, trading up to draft him, drafting him second overall, picking him over Nick Foles after the 2018 season, giving Wentz the big contract. I feel like he's trying in one moment to make it all right, and it just spirals out of control, and it may get a lot of people fired. I don't know that it'll be this year. I think next year everybody's going to be on the hot seat in Philly.
Well, Mike Florio's with us, and I'll go back to the game on Monday night for a second, because there was a play near the end of the first half, the non-grounding call.
Carlos, that was ridiculous. That was embarrassing.
Listen, here's why I bring it up, because I believe the NFL has a sports gambling partner now, and they are doing more, like everybody else is, to make people aware of spreads. Okay, well, because of that play and the two-point conversion in the Hail Mary later, Philadelphia was able to cover the spread. And I just think, how does that happen, number one, that call gets made when the side judge is standing right there and the ball is hitting the ground, or, excuse me, it was caught by a ball boy 3 yards to his left, and then not only that, the head official goes on the mic and says, the ball passed the line. No, it didn't. How does that happen, and how much do you think that drove people crazy like me, who had the Hawks, -6.5? Sorry.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and it's funny that you're assuming that there's some sort of nefarious plot to rig the game.
Jackson thinks there is.
To cover.
Our producer thinks there is.
Yeah, I don't. And here's why. And this reminds me of when my son was playing high school football, Catholic school here in West Virginia, where there's a bias against Catholics, and all the Catholics believe it. And so when we play sporting events, the calls go against us. And, you know, I always told the parents who claimed there was a bias, no, it's just incompetence.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's always the easier explanation. There isn't some grand plan here. There isn't a Tim Donaghy who is pulling all the strings and getting these games called a certain way to satisfy a certain outcome. I really believe that's not the case, because I think it's too hard to pull off, and it's too hard to keep people quiet, and it's too hard to not get caught. I just think it's incompetence. And what should have happened is there should have been a conference of the officials, or Al Riveron should have pressed the button and said, hey, you know, even though there are certain things you can and can't use replay for to communicate, and, you know, and certain things related to mechanics, you know, like if they're going to put the ball in the wrong spot, they can tell them. This probably is something that they can't technically tell them they're getting wrong, but I'm a firm believer in using that pipeline for something like that, saying, hey, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. The ball was not back to the line of scrimmage. I mean, there's that play where it was the ball got snapped over his head, and it was the Keystone Cops, and he did everything he could to get rid of it, and it was clearly 3 yards short. But I don't believe the fix is in. And but people do believe that, and that makes it even more important for the officials to not be incompetent, because it invites the tinfoil hat theories that somebody's trying to rig the game a certain way.
Watching Colin Cowherd earlier today,
my condolences.
Yeah, I kind of had the vibe that you
like
probably
Cowherd?
Weren't a big Cowherd guy.
Cowherd is a guy who I respect what he's done. I think he really loves the sound of his voice, as we all do in this business. And I think he impresses himself with the various word salads that he puts together, and the ways that he can draw out a point and continue to pull the thread. And it just makes sense. And he comes up with great analogies for the point he's trying to make. But there still is a layer of BS there somewhere. And he just gets things wrong. And he just says things sufficiently forceful and with authority in his voice that, you know, he doesn't admit that he's wrong. He just doubles down and he keeps going. And for me, I crossed the Rubicon with him when he had the commissioner on his show at one point, and it was at a time when people were complaining about Thursday night football. Remember, Richard Sherman called it a poop fest once upon a time, and short week football isn't good football, and it's a health risk to the players. And Cowherd actually made the argument that Thursday night football is better than Sunday football, and that's where he kind of lost me. It's like, you know, you can only blow out your credibility so much until you get to the point where I'm just not listening. And frankly, that was the moment where I no longer took anything that he said seriously.
All right. Well, the reason I brought it up is because he picked the Seahawks and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Oh, he could be right about that.
What do you think? What do you think about that? Are those the two favorites?
Short week, and it'll be an even better game.
Are those the two favorites in their respective in the conferences right now?
Right now, isn't it amazing that the Steelers are undefeated and everybody thinks the Chiefs are a better team? Isn't that amazing?
Well, they don't look very good.
Well, I know, and here's what would happen: if they would play right now, the Chiefs would be favored, and the Steelers would probably find a way to win. So, yeah, they don't look good, but they're winning. The difference between Steelers and the 2007 Patriots, who pretty much blew everyone out until it got down to business in December and everyone was just unloading the cannon at them every chance they could get. The Steelers are a lot more like the 72 Dolphins. If you go back and look at the scores, now they did have their blowouts, but there were a lot of close games for the 72 Dolphins. That undefeated season could have died early, and the Steelers have had a lot of those close games, but they find a way to win. But I don't know that I would go Seahawks right now. I would say that it's Chiefs, Saints. Those would be my two. But you know what? The Saints are following the same formula that they followed the last 4 years. Start slow, find the gas pedal, finish strong, and then you know what the last chapter of the book is. Heartbreaking, heart-stomping, gut-wrenching loss in the postseason.
Mike Florio, awesome stuff. Appreciate it. We'll talk in a week. See you, pal.
Thanks, man.
See you.
You bet. Mike Florio, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com. Time for Fact or Fiction, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino right now.
It's time for Fact.
Just a fact, Jack. That's a fact, Jack.
Or Fiction, powered by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
He couldn't hang up the phone faster, for crying out loud. He was not in the mood to even say goodbye to Jackson Phelps. Maybe he's pissed off he cut his hair. Couldn't believe he jinxed the Sounders the way he did. Unbelievable. All right, so this is our, I believe this is our final Fact or Fiction pick for the contest. And I also believe as of right now, we are a half game up on the nerds from 1 to 3 on this radio station. We got to make it a good one.
The press is on, man.
Well, I'm going to give you one. And knowing you, I actually don't know how you'll react to this.
Okay.
I'm going to justify it this way. Okay. The New York Giants have played 11 games this year. The over-under this weekend is 47. It's a bit of a lower number, but it's 47. The Giants have played 11 games. Do you know how many of their games would have covered that total this year?
Two.
Three of them. Of 11.
It's going to be a low-scoring game. I love where you're going.
Eight of the past 11, the games the Giants have played have been decided by 8 points or less. Seven of the last 11 have been decided by 4 points or less. You are talking about a backup quarterback for the Giants and Colt McCoy who has started 3 games in 7 years. Three. And you're talking about a scoring defense for the Giants that's tied for 9th in the National Football League. I think this is going to be a 20-10 type game at best on Sunday afternoon. I can see the Seahawks putting up maybe 23-24. I can't imagine the Giants scoring more than 10 or 13 points in this game on Sunday.
You're taking under.
I'm taking the under.
Love it.
I'm going the under 47 on Sunday afternoon.
I don't know how I missed that on my sheet, but I'm adding it to my sheet now.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, I love that pick. I think you're right. I think Seahawk fans, when I'm doing the post-game show with Slick and Hugh, they're going to be tweeting about, just another horrible game by the Seahawk offense.
Yeah. Watch them win 27-6.
Yeah, they only scored 24 points. But you know what? The Giants are top 10 in scoring defense
they're
in the
good NFL.
This is not going to be a 35-point outing for the Seattle
offense.
The
Eagles were a good defense, too.
Absolutely.
Right? Now, look, I mean, that's the thing about last Monday is that game should have been even more impressive if DK Metcalf catches that touchdown pass.
Correct.
That dropped off his chest, for God's sake. So you get that play, and the refs don't gift the Eagles a drive extender play by not calling that grounding call, which was ludicrous. That game looks totally different. So
I love that.
Look,
call,
I just think you got a good defense for the Giants against the Seahawk offense that still maybe is kind of looking to find its way a little bit here. And you're talking about a backup quarterback who's played 3 games in 7 years? I mean, get out of here, man. Under 47. Fact or fiction? Fact if you agree, fiction if you disagree, to 49451. All brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino, where you can get half-price apps in the Summit Sports Bar during every Seahawk game. A professional handicapper, Lee Sterling, who's been red-freaking-hot this year. He'll join us and give us 5 wieners over the weekend. Those are winners, by the way. Next on Cajun
Staples.
Want to make a little extra pocket change for this weekend?
Yes, I do indeed.
Well, look no further than Paramount Sports' Lee Sterling to tell you how.
Would you take 15 games over 500 from your local handy-dandy handicapper? Would you
absolutely
sign up for that? Yeah, well, that's what Lee Sterling is doing so far. Heading into
move
week
in with
13.
Him.
Yeah, you don't want that. Trust me.
He's got a nice pad, man.
He does,
swimming.
But yeah, I've shared a hotel room before with Lee Sterling, and trust me, you want none of that.
Well, I don't want the hotel room. I want his house.
You don't want any part of that at all. 37-22-1 is our friend Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports in South Florida after a 2-3 down over a week, but still very much red hot for the season. How are you, man?
I'm good. Just looking over the NBA schedule, hoping you guys get a team one day. What do you think the odds are of that?
64%.
Next 5 years.
No, I'd say what? 62%. 69%.
Okay.
How about that?
69.
How about 41%? Would you take 41%, Dick? 41?
No. Huh? Not over the next.
Just 41 yards of total offense. 41 yards.
Next 5 years, I'm closer to 69 than I am 41 as far as the odds go.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, listen, man, I just know this, that when we get a team back, we're kicking your ass when you guys come to Seattle. The Heat are going
down.
No,
just take care of Oklahoma City first.
Well, everyone will do
that. Oklahoma City.
All right, let's get to the games this week. Yeah. USC at home this Sunday, given 13 against the Boogers of Washington State. What do you see happening there?
Well, Washington State, the pass defense, not very good. They're allowing 320 yards per game. So I think the matchup favors USC. A lot of people will be scared away because, you know, they feel that this is a big line here for a Pac-12 game. Usually we're seeing, you know, 9, 10, 11-point lines, but two touchdowns. I like USC. I think this is going to be a blowout. I haven't won in this game here, 48-21.
Okay.
All right, Lee, I haven't seen any of Cal, but I've seen two full Oregon games, and they have looked less than impressive in both of them, and that's being kind. They are giving 9 to Cal. What do you think?
I know they're recruiting like crazy, but that recruiting isn't you know, moving on to the field, and maybe they're not coaching players up, or maybe some of these guys are, you know, just people think too much of them, but the defense, they can't tackle anyone at all. Now, Cal does have some problems on special teams. I mean, their special teams last week were horrific. If they clear that up, I think they can stay here in this game. I think that Oregon's going to win the game. I think it's going to be something like 27-24, but I'll take Cal here plus the 9.
Okay, Cal plus the 9. Yeah. Let's hope that Cal can finish the thing off and get the win, because if Wazoo wins this Sunday and California beats Oregon, all it would take is a Husky win against Stanford on Saturday. In that equation, the Dogs would wake up on Monday morning as the Pac-12 North champions. But UW giving 11.5 against Stanford. Stanford's up here. They're staying the week. They're going to Corvallis. They're staying in the Northwest. They were practicing in a park in Bellevue today, going through a walkthrough because they can't go back to Santa Clara County. So we'll see how focused they are. But UW is giving 11.5 this weekend versus the Cardinal.
The Cardinals just a totally different team. They used to pound the rock. I mean, they used to pound you and then use play action to their tight ends. Not anymore. I mean, they can't run the ball, averaging just 2.9 yards per carry the last two games. Also surrendered 229 yards per game running the ball through three games. So they're going to have to do it different ways here. Their defense also giving up 56% third down conversions, but I just don't know if this UW team can pull away here. So I'm going to predict Washington wins 35-28. I just think 11.5 might be a little too hefty. We're going to take the points here in Stanford.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. All right, we move to the NFL, Lee, and Seahawks fans were rooting against Arizona last week. They got their wish with the Pats win. They're rooting for Arizona this week. Arizona's getting 3 against the Rams.
So I'm watching that Arizona game last week, and I thought the play calling by Kingsbury was horrific. I mean, he's at the goal line a couple times, third and one and fourth and one right before the half, and he's trying to run the ball to Kenyon Drake. I mean, you got a quarterback in Murray. You got to be doing play action. You got to be doing run-pass option. I don't get it. And then they come away with no points there. And then in the third quarter, a fourth and one at the 15-yard line going in, he's running a play, a corner route to his tight end. I can't tell you any of the tight ends Arizona's had the last 15, 20 years. So I don't like the play calling here. I think that the Rams bounce back. I think they have a solid defense, giving up the least amount of yards in the NFL. I think they'll clamp down here on Arizona. Give me the Rams. They bounce back and win this game here, 28-20.
Okay, Rams giving 3. Take the Rams. Seahawks at home against Colt McCoy likely. No Daniel Jones. He's out with a hamstring injury. Seahawks are giving 11 against the Gents this weekend.
You know, I thought that Colt McCoy was cut like 6 years ago. Every year I look at rosters and I'm shocked that he's still around. I mean, he's got a noodle arm. But, you know, he'll throw a pick six every other game. But New York has held its last five opponents to an average of 20 points per game. They're not beating themselves. The Seahawks still allowing the most yards and passing yards in the league. But I think this is another game. You're going to see a lot of games where teams are laying double digits in the NFL and college football, win but not cover. Seattle wins this game here. 30-24. Giants covered the 10-point spread.
30-24, but he likes the over in that game then. We took the under last segment, so you like the over there. How are you more confident in the over or the Giants and the points?
The G-men and the points.
Gotcha. All right, well, game of the week, Buffalo. Good, good.
They're going to score 24 against the Seahawks defense with Colt McCoy and Wayne Gallman?
Yeah. Yeah, they got the receivers.
Hang on a second, though, because it could be 30-10 with 5 minutes to go in the game.
That's true.
And the Giants could get 14 garbage points the way they always do.
And they go for two both times.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. All right. Buffalo and the Niners is your game of the week. Josh Allen versus Nick Mullins. What do you think?
Yeah, good game. You want to get this game, important game, just call 800-400-9741. Again, the number, 800-400-9741. Hop on board. How about this? Nine games. Normally $97 this weekend for Saturday and Sunday. Just $77. Yeah. ParamountSports.com.
You don't have any like funky, wacky, corny nickname for your promotion this month?
Double down December.
Double down December.
Of course. Of course.
December to remember.
Don't make fun of it. Sydney came up with that name.
End of the year, have a beer, whatever, something like that. Okay. All right, man. Great stuff. We'll talk in a week. See you, pal.
Thanks, man.
All right, Lee Sterling likes USC and the points. Cal plus the points against Oregon. Stanford plus the 11.5 against the Dogs. Rams minus 3 against Arizona. And the G-Man and the points against the Hawks.
I like all of those.
Yeah.
I'm with them 5-for-5. The only disagreement is I don't think the Hawks-Giants game is going that high.
We'll get a break. 3:54, John Wilner. We'll see what he thinks about the Pac-12 this weekend at 4:20. And will the Dogs clinch the Pac-12 North this weekend? And honestly, how incompetent really are the Pac-12 officials? He'll tell you 4:20 on 950 KJ.